Miss Julie is a pioneering piece of realist theatre, and its frank portrayal of sexual desire and the power play between an upper-class woman and her father's servant caused quite a stir when it was first performed in 1889. But the problems that critics had with it then are very different from the ones audiences have today, with its often negative portrayal of the central female character. Hello, I'm Fiona Gruber, and I caught up with the play's director, Kip Williams, to talk about Stringer's view on women and his no-holds-barred treatment of class, lust and power.
Strindberg was interested in us seeing things as they are, realistically. So the setting of the play is a big factor in his naturalism investigation. So we're set inside a kitchen, and we're certainly seeing the actions as he sets up on stage play out in real time. It's not about trying to entertain an audience necessarily with conveniences. There are moments where he stipulates that characters cook realistically on stage, and that however long it takes is how long it takes, and it's not being done to privilege the audience, but really should be like a kind of voyeuristic experience of seeing life as we know it.
That must have been revolutionary at the time.
Very much so, very much so. And, you know, a lot of what we consider to be, a lot of television, for example, and the way in which writing has evolved since then is heavily indebted to that experiment that that he put into play inside Miss Julie.
Miss Julie, it's a play about class, it's a play about gender, it's a play about Scandinavia and Europe in the early 20th century. But it's also a play that's caused so much controversy, and part of the reason is that it's seen as a very misogynistic play, because Miss Julie is seen as unbalanced, hysterical, partly because she has a feminist outlook and because she's not conforming to the behaviour that's suitable to her class. Is that what Strindberg was trying to say?
It's interesting because on some levels, the feminist perspective or the feminist attitudes of Miss Julie are kind of great for us today, because we don't need to do anything with them in adapting the play for a contemporary audience, because rather than them being something which are problematic for an audience at the time that Strindberg was writing, for our audience, they're great. And so we identify with her as a result. But Strindberg's argument within the play was very much to condemn this individual. So yes, it is very much the original piece is a very misogynistic work, and it's part of the investigation that the cast and the creative team and myself are interested in taking on board this play. How do we make sense of this very problematic work in the 21st century? But there are consistently moments within the play where the progression of the plot is contingent upon certain hysterical episodes from Miss Julie. And every time we have hit one of those in our early week of rehearsals, we've had to stop and go, how do we rework this so that the plot can still continue to unravel, essentially, more or less, apart from some key changes we're making, with the structure that Strindberg intended, without having to rely upon this unrealistic notion of hysteria inside this character. And so it's been a really fascinating and challenging exercise for us to rework the script, to take out the hysteria that's embedded within the plot and find something more psychologically complex. And for us, that's been about saying, what is the pressure that this individual feels at the hands of everybody expecting her to comport in one way and she deeply desiring to comport in another way? And so we've really refocused the hysteria moments being about an individual who is agitating for change in their life.
So you're looking both at class and gender, but you're looking at it in terms of the constraints of early 20th century life.
Yeah, I think the period that the play takes place in is a period in which patriarchal and misogynistic views reigned supreme. But where I think the production then goes beyond usually, you know, where a Miss Julie production might go is in thinking about the seeds of individualism coming into play. And that's where the collision of Miss Julie and Jean is very fascinating. Jean is a kind of proto-capitalist. He's very much interested in the world being reworked into a form of meritocracy. And there's a form of capitalist dream inside him. We hear a kind of really problematic, almost Donald Trump-like view of how he seeks the world to remake itself. So he's very much interested in examining, almost in a kind of anthropological sense, the lives of not only the working class, but also obviously the upper class in the case of Miss Julie. there's a very kind of almost zoo-like voyeuristic experience that the audience is privileged to, where you kind of peer into this world and witness the very animalistic urges of these three people, certainly in the case of Jean and Miss Julie.
I always feel sorry for Kristen. You know, there she is cooking and cleaning, and she is ostensibly the fiance of Jean, but she's 5 years older than him, which I think must be significant. Mm. But, you know, she sees his flirtation take place. She's aware of his ambitions. It's a pretty thankless role, isn't it?
I think it can be thankless, the role of Kristen. But we've been really interested in finding a more central place for her narrative within the production. And I don't want to give too much away, but certainly there is an interesting arc in the relationship between Kristen and Miss Julie in this production. Often they're just set up as, opposing battlers for Jean's affection, and that's about all. What I think's really interesting is her faith. Both Miss Julie and Jean have either literal or forms of atheism inside their philosophies, and Kristen's obviously the antidote to that within the production. And I think it's an interesting question for us to ask in the 21st century. What function do the values and the philosophy that come from Kristen's faith have in the world, and the absence of those values and philosophies inside Jean and Miss Julie, what does it leave them bereft of?
One thing that really struck me looking at the preface to the play and looking at the influences of naturalism and realism was how it probably influenced the film group Dogma when they came up with their manifesto in 1995, the idea of truth of characters and simple settings. You know, what is it about the Scandinavian obsession with plain truth?
I have never been to Scandinavia, so there's possibly something in the climate that asks for a sort of austerity. I don't know. I that would be my only instinctual guess. But you're right, it is interesting that there is this drive within the culture for an investigation of absolute truth, unabashed, unapologetic, brutal truth. And it's interesting that you bring up filmmakers, because certainly in the design that Alice Babbage and myself have applied is one that does employ cameras. And the instinct within the text to excavate real detail in terms of the truth of action is very much at play in our drive to do so through cameras as well. So, yeah, I think it seems only natural that this culture has evolved to produce filmmakers that are interested in doing the same thing.
Has it been a long-held ambition for you to direct Miss Julie?
Yes, I have to confess that it has. And it's always a play that has terrified me somewhat, partly because some of my mentors who've directed it have said that it's broken them in the process doing so, partly because I admire Strindberg so much, and partly because I think it's always been problematic for me as a play, and rather than feeling like I wanted to come to the play with a kind of grand statement about what I think of that problem, I was much more interested in staging the production to uncover what the problem meant.
Kip, thanks very much indeed.
Oh, thank you for having me. Cheers.
And Miss Julie is on at South Bank Theatre, The Sumner, from April the 16th to May the 21st. Book online at mtc.com.au or phone the box office on 03 86 88 0800. This podcast is part of the MTC Talk series. To listen to more episodes from the series, visit mtc.com.au/MTC Talks, or search for MTC Talks in the iTunes Store or on SoundCloud.